Welcome to Career Tools. This week, what can I tell my boss about the job I'm leaving for? Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, should I tell my manager about my new job? What should I tell my manager about my new job? When should I tell my manager anything about my new job?
Organizations expect executives and C-suiters to think differently about the company. Much of the focus is on external influences and their impact to the business. Are you in a role and you're not sure how to take the leap from being a manager to being an executive? Learn how Mark Horstman, co-founder of Manager Tools, can assist. Mark would be happy to provide you with personalized, individual work to support your growth to becoming an executive leader. Contact Maggie on our team. Her email address is maggie@manager-tools.com to learn more.
Kate, you and I, last week, we started talking about what we can tell our boss about the job we're leaving for. And we were talking about being careful about what you say and when, for ethical reasons, for personal protection reasons, for reasons of controlling the message and how that gets out and who says what to whom, about
HR considerations, yeah, all kinds of stuff.
The relationships you have with the people now and the people then and so on. And we were talking about when to say something and when not. And we went through a few of those. And now
we want to share with you that we don't recommend you say anything until you've accepted an offer and have a start date.
Exactly.
That's what we recommend. So one of our, what we consider a manager tools aphorism, is until you have something, you have nothing. And it's become increasingly common for companies to rescind offers, as offensive as we find that to be. We're not in charge of how they do that. And we find it offensive that they would rescind. It happens. So even a start date, we don't think should be considered a guarantee that you'll actually start a job. It's probably as close an indication, though, as we can give you that you will actually start.
Yeah, it turns out that a start date is no longer actually a guarantee.
It's not 100%.
But it's the closest thing there is to a guarantee.
Yeah. And if you're in the time between when you start and when you're leaving, we've been there. It can be very stressful. Sometimes organizations don't communicate with new hires at all, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember packing my house, or packing up my part of the house, to move to my first corporate job across the country and not having heard from them since the offer.
Yes.
And the start date being, 2 weeks away, probably. It was probably a week and a half, maybe. And packing the U-Haul and thinking, gosh, I hope, because I haven't heard
from
them.
I hope they meant it.
When I get there, yeah, they're expecting me to show up. So, okay, start date, 99%, 95%? What would you say?
I think it depends on the timing to some extent.
Okay.
There are times of, in the economy when it's 99%, and there's times when it's 85%. If there's a lot of layoffs in the economy, it can
That's
be
valid.
85%. If you just catch it at that wave when there's been a lot of buoyancy, there's been a lot of good feelings about the economy and companies have been hiring, and then there's COVID, for example, some sudden snap, or the banking crisis, there's that sudden moment when all of the energy leaves the economy and all of the enthusiasm and all of the good feelings, then companies will rescind offers in a moment.
Sure.
And that, my confidence would go from 99% to 85% in a heartbeat.
We know that every action has risk. We're sharing this with y'all because we want to help you minimize your risk. So there's that. But okay, start date, pretty good indication that you'll actually start. We could tell you, hey, don't say anything at all at your current place of work until you actually start the other job. And for most of you, that will be too late. So having a start date is a good compromise in terms of timing of when to say something. So when you have both the offer and a start date is the time that we would recommend you choose to say something if you're going to. Again, we're not suggesting that in every case you should say all of the things, their qualifier. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, but because...
Yeah, please listen to part one, because there was a lot of stuff in there that makes me feel nervous about people listening to just this part and then thinking that we're giving you carte blanche, or we're guiding you towards saying something, and we're not necessarily.
I think our next recommendation helps with that. So I guess please do listen to part one and keep listening about, don't say anything to your current manager if you could be wooed back. Like if you could be convinced, if there's a chance you could come back to the company, to this company, we wouldn't recommend that you say anything about the next job.
And you talked about the cyclical nature of government, particularly space jobs and government defense jobs. It tends to be that people go around the cycle. There are only three or four big companies, and people tend to go to the big company, go to the startup, go to the middle-sized company, decide they'll go back to a big company, and they tend to make the rounds. And that means coming back to a company is not that unusual. Especially in those companies where IP is incredibly important, secrecy is incredibly important. What you say as you move jobs is incredibly important. And so if you think of a career as you make the rounds of those circles, what you say as you move jobs, you have to be so careful about.
Agreed. We've talked too about accepting counteroffers. And we don't recommend that you ever accept a counteroffer, because the problem with counteroffers is that it's rarely money that is the largest problem with a job. If you have problems with the job, it's maybe that you have, you know, other issues. It's rarely money.
Right. And a counteroffer is nearly always money, right? The counteroffer is, we'll give you another 20 grand or whatever. They don't change all of the systemic issues that you have with the job.
Yeah. And okay, maybe that's the problem. I would suggest usually it is not. You can't rule it out completely, because you usually, even if they give you more money, in a couple of months, you find out or you realize that that extra compensation, that extra money isn't really enough to like feel better about the other problems. Like,
your manager is still annoying, even with another 20 grand.
You still can't make any traction on these things because of the way the company's structured, et cetera. And $20,000 won't necessarily compensate you for that. And so then you want to leave again. And now, man, you've gotten more money and you still want to leave. You might feel like you have to stay. And okay, there are some people thinking, well, the reason I went out and got this job offer is so I could use it to get more money at my current job. And y'all, we consider that unethical. It's not the professional thing to do. It's almost like pitting your parents against each other or something like that. So we don't recommend that at all. And we're not going to help you out with doing that.
Yeah. So don't say anything in those circumstances. But if you did that, then we're guessing that you didn't listen to anything else we said anyway. So. Moving on. So if there is a chance that you could come back as a boomerang, that is, you could go to a company for a couple of years and then come back. Perhaps you would go to another company, get some experience and come back to this company as a manager. That's not an uncommon way that things happen. Then just don't say anything about the details of the job you're going to, because that's the easiest way to stay ethically clean and to give yourself the opportunity to come back later.
Another time not to say anything is if you don't think your present firm can be trusted, right?
Right, yeah. And sometimes that's, I don't think this specific person can be trusted. I don't trust my manager with this information about what my job is going to be. And we talked in the beginning about, you know, even with the information of what skills you have and what project you're going on to, or that you're going to be developing a product, or what location you're going to, all of that stuff, all of that information, people can add two and two and get enough information to use that competitively against the company that you're going to. And you have a responsibility to the company that you're at and the company that you're going to support them in their objectives. So if there is something that you know, something that you learned in the interview, something, you know, even like who your manager is going to be, mm-hmm. if that would lead to the manager you have now looking that person up in LinkedIn and thinking, oh, I guess that person is getting a team now that tells me X, Y, and Z. If you think that telling that your current manager, the new manager's name would lead them to doing that, don't tell them that person's name. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. You can say, I'm not sure yet, or they're rejigging things and it hasn't become clear it's two or three people and I'm not sure which one of them it is yet. Or, well, they've offered it to me and they're going to give me the details later. So even asked a direct question, you don't have to lie, but you don't have to answer the direct question because it's not a fair question that you're being asked. You only have to be truthful to questions that are fair to be asked, and that one's not one. So if you don't trust that the individual who's asking you the question will use it ethically, then don't trust them with the answer.
My brain is still going back to the idea of boomerangs too, and smaller industries, and even the idea of, I guess, like, again, in aerospace, I'm imagining, oh, they ask you like, who's your new manager? And telling them that could be fraught with all kinds of stuff. There could be little fiefdoms happening. There could be animosity between your manager and that other manager that you're going to that you don't know about because the industry is, you know, it's really narrow but deep. And you could end up in a situation where your ability to come back could be hindered because there's some kind of issue there. I don't think necessarily that people realize how much conversation people are having about the changes people make in their jobs and things like that. I have contacts from previous roles where people will reach out to me and say, hey, do you remember working with this person mm-hmm. in the past? And I haven't worked with that person in 10 years. And I still get questions about, do you know this person? Have you worked with them? Do you remember their reputation? What's your sense of that person? And I would be willing to bet there are 3 or 4 people who work at certain places. And it isn't unlikely that my recommendation about that person wasn't part of them getting that role mm-hmm. or the start of it. Obviously, people don't get their roles because I said that they're awesome at their job.
No, but it adds, right? It's 10 positive comments from 10 different people.
Yes, absolutely. And so it's just something to consider that maybe you don't know that someone's looking at your resume even at the start of this, and then you don't know who they ask about you. And there's just a lot more chit-chat, I think, than you realize. And we want to be really careful about that because what you do here in these moments is what this manager assumes you'll do at the next place as well. So their imagining of what you're doing now and how it predicts your future behavior could have implications on whether or not you're allowed to come back, or you're right about industry secrets for sure.
Yeah. You know, that I was thinking as you were saying that you are proving whether or not you can be trusted right now. If you can be trusted with the information that you have from this new company to the manager that you have now, then when you come back as a boomerang, he's going to think, was this person trustworthy when I know they knew something and they didn't tell me before? It's evidence, right?
It's even evidence. If I was the manager who was losing a team member to another competing firm in the same industry, for example, and they were discreet, because that's what this is, mm-hmm. y'all.
Yes,
it's ethical discretion. If they were discreet about their new role, I would believe that they would be discreet about the things that are happening here that I don't want them to take to their new role.
Exactly.
And that would make me feel confident that this person is not going to take our secrets, mm-hmm. my secret, you know, the secrets that I still am the steward of. And I say secrets again because I'm having this like flashback to my previous role and things were actually secret. Like, they call them secrets. So I would have a moment and think to myself, goodness, I think this person can probably be trusted not to take our secrets over to the other firm for which they are leaving us. And so discretion here is indicative, I think, of your overall discretion. And overall discretion is valuable to the employer for whom you currently work and the one that you're going to work for. And it doesn't just do you good if you're going to come back around. It does you good in your credibility. And I promise you, if your industry is small enough, there's somebody who's going to come back to the manager you're leaving and ask about you. And one of the things they might say is, you know what? They're very discreet. And that is a fantastic thing.
And people say to us, my industry is not that small. And
oh, yes, it is.
It is. You know, when people say, oh, I was in Australia and I went in this cafe in this random town, like not Sydney, Melbourne, like I was in the back country and I was in this cafe and I was talking and somebody overheard me and it turned out they came from the town next door in my homeland. That's how small the world is. Your industry is way smaller than you think it is.
Yesterday, I had a call with someone who is a listener of ours, and it turns out that that person has met my father-in-law, and that person has been listening to us before I met my father-in-law.
Oh my gosh.
If you don't think the world is a small place, y'all, someone I know who I had a call with yesterday, completely unrelated to anything to do with my family, my personal life, fully knows my father-in-law from 30 years ago, just, you know, because the world is that small. Okay, so don't say anything if you don't think your present firm can be trusted, not just because you think they can't be trusted, because we want to act with discretion. And really, if you don't think they can't be trusted, don't tell them anything. Can they make it uncomfortable for you? Sure. Can they torture you? No. It's not, I mean, is it comfortable? No. Is it miserable? No. So there's a balance there.
Can it last forever? No, because you only gave like a month's notice, max probably in the US. Anywhere else,
yeah.
2 months, 3 months probably if you're very senior. It can't last forever and you're going to a better place, you hope. So yes, it's uncomfortable and not very pleasant, but it isn't forever. And really, it can't kill you.
Yeah, you don't have to tell them anything that you don't want to. You don't. You have control over whether or not you share information with them. And we would suggest that there are a great many times when you should not. And we're here to support you in that endeavor.
Exactly.
Discretion, valor, all that.
Deliberate forgetting.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Having been a peer, a personal assistant in that kind of role where
sure.
having... not knowing things that you actually know when asked or when you're not supposed to know them. You know an awful lot as a personal assistant that other people in the company should not be privy to. And so I got deliberate forgetting. It's a very good skill.
It's a great way to think of it. I think of it as like there's a curtain in my brain and there's some stuff behind the curtain and I keep it there. What's funny is, I think you and I both worked in industries where there were a lot of things that had to be deliberately forgotten. And you get used to that, I think, if you're good at your job and the requirements of it. And so not everybody, I think, has had that experience.
Yeah, you do have to get past the temptation to I know something and I want to tell it. You have to have a strategy for not telling.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about, like, how I've adapted that. I'm wondering if we should talk about it in some other casts about doing that. Although I don't know how to tell people how to section off their brain. And there's probably somebody listening who's thinking, some of that's not healthy. It's useful. It's a useful skill. So there's that. Part of it is I'm thinking of a friend of mine who talks a lot and is also one of the most vault-like people in terms of, knows all kinds of stuff about cool stuff, like, I don't know, famous people stuff, and never says a word about that stuff and still talks a lot, which is just kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting skill as well.
You don't even realize how much your communication style is a deeply ingrained habit. 75% of the time, at work, your natural style actually gets in your way. At the Virtual Effective Communicator Conference, we'll teach you how to see other styles and, in turn, adapt your own. Our next session of the Virtual Effective Communicator Conference is coming up on June the 12th, and we'd love to have you join us. Register today at manager-tools.com/training.
Okay. Shall we tell them, finally, what they are allowed to say once they've passed all our hurdles? So all of our hurdles, if you've passed all of them, all the ones we've put before you, you can tell your manager about your new role. And unfortunately, like your friend, we're going to tell them very little about what you actually know. So the details would probably not be more than the role, that is the role title and maybe one line. So like, I'm going to be a systems analyst on databases, or I'm going to be a product developer in fast moving consumer goods, you know, which probably tells them very little, since that's probably what you do now at a very broad scope. The company, obviously, and maybe the boss and the division, and maybe the location. And that's it, which is very little. That is quite a lot if somebody is trying to find out things. I mean, that's enough to put together some things for a competitive advantage, but it's not a lot if you thought you were going to be able to tell them everything.
And I think it's worth noting, we are suggesting the role in the firm and perhaps boss and location. Those two are optional. And to some extent, yes, that could be part of a competitive advantage. It's also true that those are things that organically people might find out, right? It's not as if your relationships end here. And so those are also things that they could naturally find out because you talk to somebody else, or you still, you know, live down the street from some of the people you work with or something like that. So
it's also information that's on job boards. So it would have been advertised, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not top secret information. Unless it is a job that's, you know, that you know wasn't advertised.
Right. It's not top secret. It's FOUO. And so, okay, but we are not going to tell them the salary or anything like related to tactics or strategies unless it's wholly separate from what your current firm does.
Right. Like, I'm going in there to develop a new arm of the company to do X. Or I'm going in because they want to get into the China market. Or I'm going in because they want to develop a product for this underserved market. That is way too much.
Yeah, don't share that stuff. Because you are trying to support both companies in achieving their objectives and not undermining in the process either company, which just means, you know, an amount of information that's necessary, but maybe also not the amount of information that could be useful.
Yes.
It's kind of interesting.
Remember, there's two things here. The less you say, the less danger you're in. But there's two things going on here. First of all, you're resigning. There's a limited amount of time to pass a lot of information on, to close a lot of things. So you're busy. You don't have a lot of time to have this kind of conversation, even if people are saying, oh, what is it that you're doing? It's not like you can sit down and have a half an hour conversation with them. So this kind of brief, oh, I'm going to be a systems analyst in their fast moving consumer goods division. Oh, and I need to talk to you about project X and project Y and where I am with them so that so-and-so can do this. You know, you can move on easily to the X number of things that you need to talk to that person about before you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to move that conversation on without making it seem that you've cut them off. And also, you're supposed to have an ongoing relationship, if you follow the rest of our guidance, with these people. And there will be times in the future when you meet up for lunch or a meal or you know, whatever. Where you can have a longer conversation, where you've been working there for a couple of months and you've got the lay of the land, you understand what can be said and what's can't, you know, or that product has been released to the market and now everybody knows about it and you can talk about it and you can talk about your contribution to it and you can have that fuller conversation without compromising anybody.
Right. And honestly, for now, you can say, I'm not sure, or I haven't been told yet. And I would even go so far, I know that some people might be thinking, gosh, like, is that bending the truth? Is that, you know, obfuscating something? And I would suggest it's not, because even if you think you know what you're going into in your new role, it's pretty rare that what the job description says is going to be accurate for more than 6 minutes. Yes. It's pretty rare that you get there and everything's what you thought it was going to be. It's pretty rare that that lasts very long. I mean, your understanding of what you're going into is really limited. And you honestly don't know that much about what it's going to look like day to day and who's truly going to manage you. I mean, gosh, if you're going into a matrix organization, the person you think is your manager is not going to be the person you work with every single day. I mean, really, I mean, matrices, you know, that's just baffling in terms of who's really your manager before you get there, mm-hmm. right? You have very little transparency into what it's really going to be like. Saying I'm not sure is accurate because yes. even if you think you know, you could be wrong. And even if you have been told, so you don't have to say I haven't been told. You could say, you know, I'm not sure. I have a limited amount of information right now and there's still, you know, moving parts that I'm not really obviously yet privy to or yet involved in. So we really do want to be discreet here and we want to do it with honesty, but discretion is also something that can be achieved with honesty. And I always think when we're having conversations like this about our cast, about exit interviews mm-hmm. and how to, in an exit interview, say things that are honest and positive without revealing, you know, negative things that are happening. And it's just such a valuable lesson in my mind. So if you haven't listened to the cast about exit interviews, please do so because it's incredibly valuable in terms of what to say and how to say it with positivity and honesty in ways that don't damage relationships and include discretion.
And it's likely that this is just the time when you have to have your exit interview.
Right. It's like it's happening. It's probably happening.
It's perfect. Yeah. So changing jobs is a really strange time because it's full of sadness and excitement. And there's a lot of questions and not many answers. And it's full of relationships that you want to honor and new relationships that you want to build. And there's endings and beginnings, which are all delicate times. And it's far better to be sparing with the information about your new role in the transition, knowing that you can give more information later, than to let it all spill out now and then finding out that some of those relationships, the ones endings and beginnings, have been ruined. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.